Thank you.
Okay, let's bow our heads then.
好，我们现在低头祷告。
Father in heaven, we give thanks to you that we have this freedom and this great opportunity to study your word again.
感谢天父，让我们有这个很棒的机会，能够继续的研读你的话语。
We pray that as we focus on the message, the Holy Spirit will make these things clear in our souls.
我们祷告，希望我们能够全神贯注的学习，并让圣灵可以让我们更了解，让这些话语都进入我们的魂中。
And that through understanding these things, we can grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
感谢天父跟耶稣基督给我们的恩典，让我们可以在这样的学习中，我们的灵命得以成长。
And we give thanks for these things in Christ's name.
所有的感谢因着主耶稣基督之名。
Amen. It's just occurred to me over the last couple of times that we've done the lessons now on Zoom. And with the translation in the class, that actually having a translator when I'm teaching makes my job easier.
在这几次的这个课程中呢，那个 Tim 觉得这个课程因为经过有翻译的时候，让他的整个课程变得比较轻松。
And I've really just noticed this since coming back to Thailand, and I've started to teach again, but I teach without a translator. And it's very difficult to keep teaching constantly. When you're speaking constantly, you don't have the gaps needed to be able to give you time to think about what you're going to say next.
因为呢，这一次 Tim 回到泰国以后呢，他在泰国的圣经课全部都是完全用泰语，然后没有人翻译，哈，直接跟泰国人教。所以呢，他发现呢，在这个课程中，因为他要一直不断的讲话，让他没有机会可以思考。那经由这个翻译的时候呢，像我们现在的课程，他就有时间可以思考他到底要讲的更详细的是什么。
I don't know if it actually makes my teaching any better, but it's certainly easier for me.
或许这样的教学不见得让我教得更好，但是一定会让我觉得更为容易。这个我是指听。
So in this way, actually, I'm quite grateful we do have to have a translator.
所以他很高兴是有翻译在这个课堂中。
Okay, so it gives me an excuse not to keep learning Chinese as well, because I know that I can never teach in Chinese directly.
这也让他变成没有需要把中文学得更好，但是不论如何，他觉得他要用中文来讲经的机会也是蛮渺小的。
But it still is my prayer, and I always tell people that are interested in the ministry here, I tell them,to keep praying that one day we can have people come out of the ministry, men with the gift of pastor that have their churches or you know, that God will lead to establish a church and then they can teach doctrine in Chinese.
Who is going to teach in Chinese?
That's a good question. Who? But you know, that's my prayer is that God will provide a man. You know, it doesn't take many people, but young men maybe with the gift of pastor teacher that will take the doctrine that I'm teaching or you know, from the colonel's theology and that they will teach in Chinese, directly in Chinese to Chinese students.
而 Tim 呢他也每天都在祷告像他的其他的这些传教士一样他们的祷告在他们的教学中呢他们的学生是有一天是有机会可以用中文来教导。
And this is really the goal of missions. And for any missionary, like especially when we're teaching doctrine, the goal is that we go out and it's not just us teaching for a certain group of people, but the hope is that other people would learn it and that they would be in a position to teach other people.
其实呢，这是他们传教士最大的心愿啊，就是他们的目标，就是在他们的教导中是有学生可以兴起，能够成为在当地可以用当地的语言来教导更多的人。
And I sort of hope that for the next generation, you know, coming out from what first the colonel taught and then Max has taught and that I've learned and then I'm teaching you guys and then somehow from you know, the group of people that we're teaching, that there will be someone, again, they have to be a man, they have to have the gift of pastor teacher, they have to be interested in doctrine and then they want to have a ministry teaching.And they could be very effective.
其实这样子的教导就像当年 Tim 的老师是 Max 老师是上校那他们一代一代的这样的传承下来其实都希望在这个教导中是会有年轻一代的 男性可以学会，然后并且兴起为这个教导的事工而继续传承下去。
You might be familiar with the missionary Hudson Taylor, and he was in China from, I think, in the mid-1800s, about 1860, maybe 1870. And with him and his family, they did a big evangelical push, which means they were preaching the gospel and quite successful.
或许大家还记得我们曾经提过，在1860-70年代呢，有一个叫泰勒的传教士呢，来到中国，然后兴起了一大波的这个教导的复兴。
And I've heard of other missionaries that have gone to China and other places around Asia, where they have had quite a big impact, and they were able to establish quite a number of Christians and even churches in those places, whether it's China and Burma, I know, and the Philippines, for example. You know, there's been a lot of missionary activity in the past.
在同时呢，也有非常多的各地的西方的传教士来到亚洲啊，在亚洲各地方教导，然后甚至呢建立了教会，做了非常大的事工。
And again, they were very effective in getting Christians, you know, building up quite a number of Christians, which is one of the goals of a mission. Actually, you know, the goal is you have to evangelize, but along with the evangelization,You know, teaching the gospel, preaching the gospel, you need Bible doctrine, that people need to learn doctrine.
而这些传教士呢，来到亚洲呢，给了非常多人福音，所以造成非常多的基督徒的兴起，然后这就是我们这些传教士的事工里面最期待看到的，就是从福音，然后让很多人听到福音，然后成为基督徒，并且呢，能够在整个圣经的教学习里面成为一个更好的基督徒。
So what we see is that people were evangelized, and there was like a generation or maybe two generations of Christians saved. That was all that happened. And then after that, the churches died, basically. And then the number of Christians shrunk down, and really nothing happened. It just became a time in history where there was a few Christians in the nation.
Which area you're talking about?
Oh, like talking about like Hudson Taylor's mission in China, for example. You know, I think there was a lot of Christians, that, a lot of people believed at that time. But then after that, there was a lot of persecution as well. And because they had no doctrine to face with the persecution, the Christians basically gave up. They said, I don't want to be a Christian anymore.
那但是呢，在刚刚提到的泰勒他们来中国大大的传福音，兴起了非常多的基督徒之后呢，但是就有一个时期啊，因为也不再能够看圣经，不能够再去传教，所以呢，在大陆就有非常多的教会都关闭了，也因此很多的基督徒他们最后也只好放弃，那整个的福音的事工就整个都等于是越来越微弱。
If those people were really saved, and we can assume that, you know, many people believed and they were saved, because there's persecution, they say, I don't believe in Jesus, doesn't mean they lost their salvation. You know, they're just saying with their mouths that just to, you know, they don't have enough spiritual strength. They don't have enough faith to be able to be strong in the face of persecution. Like when people are killing Christians,The easy thing for them to say is, I'm not a Christian anymore. And I think, you know, from my understanding, that's what happened. People just gave up the faith.
而因为呢，在有一段时期啊，在就是残害这些基督徒的事情一再的发生，让一些信心不够坚定的基督徒呢，他们就没有办法再真正的去操练自己的基督信仰。那这样子，他们就放弃了整个基督教基督追求基督生命的这个学习。
Yeah. Now, it's not really the fault of the evangelists, because you have to realize that as a mission team, usually when people go out, you know, you have people with the gift of evangelism, and then you need also the people with the gift of pastor teacher. So some of these people, they might have had the gift of evangelism, and that was their job. They were evangelizing.And they might have been teaching some basic doctrine. And in fact, I'm sure they were. But for a church to survive from one generation to the next, you need solid doctrine. You need an organizational structure of a church. And then you can keep a permanent presence of the church in a place, in a geographical location.
所以我们要了解的就是说呢，这些 当初哈、啊、来传教的这些福音的传教士们，他们其实并没有什么错，他们其实是非常认真的传了福音，那也让很多人信了主。但是呢，一个教会的建立，它不只是福音的给予，它是要有非常有组织架构的，去让这些基督徒能够一直好好的学习圣经的教义。只有在很好的圣经教义的学习之下，他们的信心才能够坚定，才能够成长，灵命得以成长之后，这些基督徒才不会因为外界的任何的这些压力、挫折而放弃了他们的这个基督生命的追求。所以这是等于是从传福音到教导圣经教义，这其实是不一样的天赋。所以有的时候我们要更理解，我们成为了基督徒，更需要花更多的精力去研读圣经教义。
The Bible teaches us about how a church should be organized. And you have the pastor, of course, but you need people with different gifts. They all need to be coming together and learning doctrine. They need to be using their gifts effectively. And this is the proper structure of a church.
对于一个教会呢，哈，它能够组织完整，哈，这也是非常重要的。就是我们除了要有牧师之外，要有教师，就各种不同的恩赐，在教会里面都要非常彰显的去把它整个组织起来，然后让教会的信徒能够有很好的学习。
And when a missionary comes to an area where there's no Christians and he starts evangelizing, that's just the first step, of course. The first step in building a church in that area, if a church is going to exist, if people are going to believe, there has to be evangelism first.
所以，当一个地区他没有任何的基督信仰的时候，这个传教士来的第一件事就是给福音，让大家能够成为基督徒，然后建造这个教会，这是第一步。
And then really the last step, I guess you could say, the final step is where you do have somebody in that area. Again, he's a man with the gift of pastor teacher, and he's ready. He's been learning doctrine for many years. It's a long process, but he becomes qualified to teach the word of God, and then God will establish a church around that person, with the deacons. You have the deacons and you have the organizational structure and you have people coming to church regularly and learning the word of God. And that's sort of like I won't say the final step, but that's the goal of a mission when they're setting up a church.
而建立一个教会呢，就是他开始除了传福音有很多的信徒之后呢，他重要的事情是能够固定的提供这些信徒学习圣经的这些教义的课程，然后让多年的这种累积的这种学习的人，然后可以一代一代的去传递圣经的教义，这才是真正建立一个教会的目的。
Yeah, and I won't say it's like the final step because from there a church can continue to develop and it builds up like a children's program, it can have a teenage program, eventually it can have a missionary program as well, and that perpetuates the whole church structure. And then the missionaries can go out and then they can build other churches.
而一个教会呢，在这样的一个教导之下，它逐渐的成长，它可能也有这个对儿童的教导的事工，对青少年、对青年的事工，然后甚至还可以训练这些传教士再差派出去，所以是整个教会呢也有这种长老的制度哈、啊，等等各方面的从横向到纵向的这种成长，才是一个教会它在设立的整个过程中一个健康的一个程序。
From within that church, you have men in the group, and they're learning doctrine as well. And when they're ready, they go out, they can establish churches as well. So you have missionary activity, that's for the people usually going to a foreign place. And then you have from the congregation, you have men with the gift of pastor teacher, or men, with the gift of evangelism, and they're going out, they establish new churches.
而一个大的教会哈，当他有了能力，他开始会做这个所谓事工的传递，然后会差派一些已经受过很好的装备的这些教友到外地再去延伸，再到其他的没有基督徒的地方去做这个传福音的工作，那这个整个教会的系统就可以整个扩大影响力。
though you have to remember also that when a man comes out from under a congregation, like if he's been learning in the congregation and he sets up a church, his church or that new church isn't part of the old church. They need to be separate. This is the biblical way. The church has become completely separate. They're two different ministries.
而这些被差派出去呢，在其他地方建立教会的这些同工们呢，他们其实当他到了另外一个地方建立了另外一个教会的时候，这个教会就必须跟他原来的母会之间要切开来，就好像孩子长大一样，他要再独立起来，在当地继续的扩展。
See, a lot of churches have the attitude that they send out people from their church and they're providing financial support and they're providing a lot of support and they have people working between the two churches. So they have this attitude that you have the mother church and then you have the, I guess you call them the children churches or the offspring churches. And they look at them as being the same organization.
但是有一些教会呢，他们从母堂分出去的这个差派出去的教会建立起来以后呢，并没有切断他们的这个亲代关系，好，就变成了母子教会的这种大结构。
Yeah, and so in this way that the mother church thinks they have responsibility and then they have a lot of influence and they're always telling the offspring church what to do. But that offspring church with their pastor who has the gift of pastor, he needs to be independent.
而这种母子堂的这种教会呢，因为母堂一直都在提供子堂很多的资源，所以母堂就觉得他对于这个子堂是有他的责任的和义这个权利义务的哈。但实际上呢，如果是按照圣经的教导，一个教会的建立，它是不应该有这种母子堂连亲代连接的关系。每一个教会出去都应该要当他可以独立的时候要尽快的独立，因为大家都是要面对神的。
Yeah, and this is the beginning of denominations. This is where you get churches becoming like denominational groups, like whether they become Baptists or Evangelicals or Pentecostals. This is how a denomination started.
所以如果呢，这种母子堂的关系一直都是连接的话，它就会变成了一种所谓宗派型的教会，它就是变成是一个很大的教会系统。
And that's just not biblical. That's against the Bible, how each church is supposed to be independent.
而如果是用这种宗派形态的教会的组织呢，它其实是违背圣经教导的，因为圣经是要求所有的教会都要独立的去面对神。
The pastor of a church, when he establishes his church, he becomes responsibly direct to the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Jesus is the head of the church, the international, or we call the universal church. We use the word the universal church, which means all churches under Jesus Christ. So, and Jesus is the head.
因为呢，其实神给我们的指示是所有的教会的头都是我们的天父。所以这是一个所谓国际化或者是宇宙化的一个教会组织，就是每一个教会都要直接的对神负责。
Now the best example that I have seen of a way a church is organized and operated is Baraka Church.
而 Tim 呢，在这边特别要讲说，他看到的整个教会组织运作的最好的呢，就是 Baraka Church， 就是在 Houston 的这个 Baraka Church。
Yeah, now I'm not trying to promote that church or anything, but you know, I've had experience with many churches in my time, and this is probably the church that I've become closest to be involved in. But you know, just from what I've seen of a lot of churches, Baraka Church is one of the very few churches I've seen that actually follow the biblical principles correctly.
而经过 Tim 这么多年来接触过那么多的教会的经验呢，他真的是觉得 Baraka Church 是非常非常跟随着圣经教义的教导啊，他不是说自己要去吹捧这个 Baraka Church， 是因为他实在看过太多的教会的运作之后，他才有这样子的一个结论。
Now back in about the early 1950s, when Colonel Thieme became the pastor of the church, it was just a small church in a small part of town near Houston.
在当这个1950年代呢，上校牧师他成为 Baraka Church 的主任牧师的时候，这 Baraka Church 还是一个非常非常小的一个在休斯顿的一个近郊的一个小教会。
And nowadays, the city of Houston has grown so much that before, the church was just part of like a small town. It was like a suburb of Houston. But now it's actually almost like downtown Houston. It's almost in the middle of Houston, I think. The city has sort of grown around the church almost.
而这个 Brock Church 在 1950年代呢, 它所在地呢, 其实是在当时的休斯顿的近郊处。 但是随着这些年的这个成长哦, 整个城市 Houston的中市中心 居然已经移偏移到这个 Brock Church 附近了, 就是说, 变成好像整个城市的成长 是随着这个 Brock Church的四周扩张起来。 所以造成现在呢, Brock Church是在休斯顿的最中心地带。
From being a very small church, when the colonel started teaching, he was very faithful in his teaching, and then a lot of people who were interested in doctrine, they came from all parts from around America, actually, to live in Houston to be able to learn doctrine with him.
而因为上校牧师的教导呢, 他这么 认真、负责的、信实的教导这个圣经教义呢, 让很多很多的人哦, 都越来越靠近 Brock Church, 甚至从美国的其他的地方搬来休斯顿, 为了要来上上校牧师每天给的圣经课。
To give you three examples of people that you might be familiar with, because I've talked about them before, Max Klein came from Wisconsin.
像比如说呢，那个听的牧师啊，Max Klein呢，他就是从威斯康星州来到Houston.
And Wisconsin is right at the north of America. That's sort of on the border of getting up, you know, to Canada. And so he came all the way down the country to the south, to Texas.
这个威斯康星州呢，其实是在就是美国的最北方啊，是已经是在加拿大旁边了，所以是在很北的地方跑到南边的休斯顿来住。所以Max是特别为了上校的课而来，而搬到Houston.
Another person I'll mention is Joe Griffin. He's another pastor I like, and he came from Alabama, and so he came to Texas as well. He moved his family to Texas. He had a lot of difficulty finding work, regular work actually, but he moved and so he could be in the congregation, he could sit in the congregation and learn doctrine.
那另外一个牧师Joe呢, 他是从阿拉巴马把整个家搬到了休斯顿, 他其实为了要听上校的课, 他搬过来的时候呢, 他其实有很大的困难去找到一个工作可以养活全家的, 但是他们都经历了这些困难。 他的名字叫Joe Gruffin, 非常有名的牧师现在。
Yeah, so, and a lot of the things that I'm teaching to this class actually is from the concepts that he's learned as well. So now he has a good way of explaining things. And some a lot of the things I talk to you guys about is coming from his ministry, from his teaching.
而Tim呢, 他说他研究很多Joe Gruffin这个牧师, 他的教导。 非常非常欣赏他的教导，所以我们现在所学的很多东西呢， 也是Tim跟Joe Griffin从他的这个教导里面学习来的。
And another man is Rick Hughes. I've talked about, you know, a lot of Rick's stuff. We've even translated one of his books, which is on the IB Doctrine website. And he also had to move. I think he came from Alabama, another place in Alabama as well. And he moved to Baraka Church.
那另外一位是Rick Hughes, 休斯牧师呢, 他也是我们很多的课程内容也是从他的教导里面综合整理出来的, 那他也是从阿拉巴马搬到休斯顿。
And so these men, they grew under the colonel's ministry, and then now they have their own ministries. Max is a missionary, Joe has a church, and Rick has a very successful radio ministry. He's preaching on the radio all over the states and even overseas.
而这些人呢，他们现在呢，都随着这个跟着上校牧师的学习成长之后呢，现在也都各自一方霸主啊。像Max呢，他也是一个很成功的传教士，然后现在人也在泰国。另外一个刚刚讲到的Joe Gruffin， 他现在是在密苏里有一个很大的一个教会。然后第三个是休斯牧师，他有一个非常非常有具影响力的一个。 广播的这个传道的一个 channel.
Okay, actually, Joe Griffin's church—it's not that big, but I think, you know, because he has an internet sort of ministry as well, it's become very successful via the internet. But he says that from his church, normally he gets about 17 people coming to Bible class. So it's not that big in the actual church.
第二个, 就刚中间讲的这个 Joe Groovin 呢, 他的教会其实不大, 我刚刚讲错了, 他的固定会来听他的课的人, 大概也就不到20个, 但是他的课程呢, 全部都在网络上面, 哦, 得到非常大的影响力。
And because, you know, the Lord has obviously led him to know some people who are very good at the internet websites and things like that. So these people working together, they were able to use their knowledge, their technical knowledge, to promote the ministry through the website.
而 Joe Groovin 他, 牧师他呢, 四周有神为他预备的一些同工啊, 让他们都是非常非常懂得这个网络的这个工程的。 一些很有网络的能力的人, 所以他们可以把他的教导, 经由网络的方式传播得非常的具影响力。
But the important thing to note here is that all of these ministries were totally independent. So the colonel, even when he was alive, and now Baraka Church, they can't force those churches, like for Max or for Joe or for Rick, they can't tell them what to do because these people have completely independent ministries.
而这一些牧师们呢，他们独立后呢，都其实与上校牧师之间呢是没有任何管理性的一个关系，他们都是完全独立的。那个上校牧师呢，支持他们，但是并不能够要告诉他们说你们该怎么做，所以他们完全都有独立的方式去做他们的事工。Yeah,
now from what I know is that Baraka Church, they do officially provide what we call donations. Like tithing or something, but you know, they sometimes provide donations, financial donations for those ministries, especially like for Max when he was a missionary and for Rick Hughes. But again, they don't say, okay, you take our money and then we can tell you what to do. It's completely just a donation. And again, these other ministries are independent to make their own decisions.
而 Baraka Church 呢，对这些独立的这些牧师们呢，他们有的时候会需要的时候，他是会提供一些赞助金给这些已经独立开来的这些传教者。但是他们 Baraka Church 完全不会告诉这些牧师们说你们该做什么。And
from Baraka Church, there's been a lot of churches, a lot of young men, and they went out to make up their own churches. From what I know, there's about 200. At least 200 men that have gone out to establish churches, and they teach sort of, it's like the colonel's theology, but they use their own words and they can use their own systems, but teaching from the theology or from the doctrine that the colonel taught.
而在Tim所了解的是从 Baraka Church 这个教会里呢, 分派出去, 拆派出去的这些牧师呢, 到现在已经超过200人。 那每一个呢, 都是非常, 等于是在 Baraka Church 里面受到完整的这个教义，圣经教义的装备。但是呢，他们离开后呢，他们是用他们自己的话，用他们自己的方法去做他们传教的事工。And
I notice that sometimes, like when I'm looking up on the internet and I'm just looking for some information, and I can put in a key search word or something, and something will come up from a pastor. Maybe he's written a doctrine about something. And I can see that just the way that he uses his words, you know, the words he uses, I can tell that this person has studied with the colonel or somebody who studied with the colonel as well.
而Tim呢说这个上校牧师他的教导呢对这些人的影响非常的大，所以有的时候呢，Tim不见得认识某些牧师，但是从他们他在看他们所写的文章或所说的这些传教的这些演讲呢，他会看得出来这里面有这个
For example, they might use the word like rebound when they're talking about naming of sins, or they use the words like the problem-solving devices or something like that. It's quite obvious.
那比如说他们有的时候在教导的时候会用到反弹这个词，或者是这个解决问题的方法，这些都是上校牧师他发明的一些说法。
And alongside the pastors, you know, I said about there's about 200 pastors that I know of or that I've seen a list of. And then there's a lot of missionaries. There's at least about 20 missionary organizations which have come out from Baraka Church, and then they're teaching in different countries around the world.
除了刚才讲的说有200多位的这牧师是直接从 Baraka Church 差派分支出去的。 同时呢，他所了解的是 Baraka Church 里面也大概成立了 20个左右的这个传教事工单位。那这些传教事工单位呢，就在各个世界各地呢去做传福音的工作。
I'll just put up on the thing if you're interested, you can have a look actually at some of them. This is just a small list of those people. OperationGraceWorldMissions.org. This is a website for some of the missions that have come out from Baraka Church, but not all of them, just some.
像现在这个白板上面的这个网址呢，你如果有兴趣的话，你可以上去看哦。就是说，这个网址上面有列出一些这福音事工的单位啊，不是全部，但是是部分的从 Baraka Church 所成立的一些福音事工单位的名单，可以在这上面看到。
Yeah, and this is the organization that myself and Oi are on. So you'll actually see our names up there as well, because we've come out from Baraka Church and we were invited to become missionaries for this organization.
在这上面也会看到 Tim 跟他太太 Oi 的名字，因为他们是被这个组织邀请成为这个组织所属的这个传教士。
And that organization is actually called Operation Grace. And that was actually set up by the colonel. He suggested it, but as a separate organization from Baraka Church.
这个机构呢，其实是叫做恩典事工。好，那其实这个组织 Operation Grace World Missions 是当时上校牧师建议要成立的。
And since I've begun with that organization, because after I studied with Max for a while, Max suggested my name and then they invited me to do a test and we had interviews and things like this. But since starting with the organization, they've never told me what to do.
而当 Tim 呢，他是跟着 Max 牧师呢学习很长一段时间之后呢，这个 Operation Grace World Mission 呢就邀请了 Tim 能成为他们的传教士。可自从他加入这个组织以来，他从来没有被这个组织要求他应该做什么，全部都是由他自己在计划他的福音的事工。
I hear a lot of complaints from other missionaries working with other organizations. And one of the big complaints is they're always being told what to do by the mission organization, which you know, could be based in the States or maybe England or Australia or somewhere. And they say the people in the organization at the headquarters, they just don't understand what's going on.
那像 Tim 他就有听到很多其他的单位的一些传教士，他们被差派到很世界各地去啊，他们常常会在那边抱怨说他们的这个总部啊，从来都搞不清楚他们在做什么，却要给他们下一大堆的指令。
Yeah, and that's something I really do appreciate. You know, as missionaries with this organization, we're completely independent. And you know, people just trust that we have enough doctrine and enough wisdom to make good decisions and we can do what we need to do.
而 Tim 呢就非常的感激啊，他是属于这个 Operation Grace 的这个整个组织，因为他们组织里呢是非常确信他们这些传教士是有足够的圣经教义以及智慧，好，可以帮助他们计划并且选择他们该做些什么。
One thing I've noticed is talking with the other missionaries, you know, we write to each other, but not just for Operation Grace, but for a lot of other missions as well. Missionaries, most of them have the goal, and they all should have the goal, that they want the churches to be established, and that, you know, or Christians to be established, and that there needs to be good teaching.
对于这些传教士们哈，像听他很多传教士们的朋友啊，他们都互相常常联络，会写信啊什么的。他说，对于传教士被差派出去哦，他们最大的目标就是应该在当地能够传福音，同时可以设立教会。
And that really should be the goal of a lot of Christian ministries, is that you know, through the teaching you can find a pastor teacher, and then he, when the missionary leaves to go home, or if he dies, we don't have too much in our lives, we only have so many years, but when the missionary has to leave the missionary field, that there's somebody else to take his place and to carry on the teaching.
而对于传教士来讲呢，他们被差派到一个地方，也最需要的目标就是要能够在当地哈，可以教导出可以接手的，能够教导给更多的基督徒的老师。好，所以他们的很重要的事情是他们能够培植当地的人成为教学者。
And this is how the church has survived for 2,000 years.
而这就是教会呢，在过去2000年来能够一直的成长而不坠的原因。
It began when Jesus Christ sent out the disciples. And he said, you know, go out and preach the gospel and then make disciples and baptize in my name.
这也就是耶稣在当时啊，将他的这些学生们差派出去，要他们去传福音，让大家受洗，然后能够以耶稣之名啊，建立各地的教会。
Yeah, and remember the term baptism means to, you know, identify, have people identified with Jesus Christ. And by being identified with him, we become in union with him. And then so the disciples are going out, they're bringing people into the church. And then they need to be teaching those people. And then that starts the process.
而我们要记得哈，就是所谓受洗的意思呢，就是能够确认哈，他们是在耶稣基督的名下成为基督徒。那这样子的这个过程呢，这些传教士们到各地去传福音，让这些人他们被确立成为基督徒，让这个基督之名得以传播到地极，这就是一个传教士他的使命。
And the Apostle Paul set a great example for us. He went out and he evangelized. He was teaching, sometimes just teaching in the marketplace or preaching on the street corners. And from there, he was able to establish churches. And he was very successful in what he did, even under great persecution.
而在使徒保罗身上，我们看到一个最伟大的一个传教士的生命。好，他到甚至在世界各地，他到了很多地方，就算是站在马路上面，他也可以传教，然后到每个地方都做很深刻的教导。他即使是受到了这个迫害，他依然能够不断的在做传教跟教导的事。
And now after 2,000 years, we see that there's churches in every country in the world, and probably, you know, pretty much well, not every town, but you know, most cities and towns around the world and villages, they have some kind of a church.
而经过这2000年来，我们看到世界各地，在各个地方，即使是非常贫困的乡下，都可以看到教会。我们就知道说，就是这些使徒们当年所撒下的种子是那么的广，那么的深。
It's interesting, the other day I was actually talking to a man here, he's from England, and he was asking what I was doing. I said I was a missionary. And he'd been living in the town I am here. This is Hua Hin in Thailand. And he was very surprised that there was even Christians here in Hua Hin.
而现在 Tim 所在的这个村子啊，那他遇到一个从英国来的一个朋友，他问他说，哎，你来做什么？ Tim 就说他是来传教的。然后他就吓一跳，因为他根本没有办法想象在泰国这样的一个村子里面是会有基督徒。
Yeah, it's not a big city. There might be maybe 200,000 people at the most, I guess.
这不是一个很大的镇哦，大概只有20万人左右的一个地方。
But actually, there's about 5 or 6 Christian churches here, and yeah, he didn't know that because usually the churches are sort of hidden away a little bit up the back streets, and they're not very obvious. But there are quite a few Christians here.And yeah, these are some of them are from very established churches.
而有趣的是，其实这个村子里啊，大概有5-6个教会啊。但是这个英国人他显然是看不到，因为这些教会他都不是用很明显的方式在树立在那边的，都是用一些正常的房子。所以实际上这个村子里还蛮多基督徒的。
The church that I'm teaching in here in Hua Hin actually has been around for about 40, maybe 45 years already.
而 Tim 现在在这个村子里面所教导他的这个教义课，圣经教义课程的这个教会呢，已经40-50年了。
Yeah, so yeah, if people are interested in learning about Jesus Christ, there's usually a church that they can go to somewhere very local to them.We'll see a lot of people, they say, oh, there's nowhere to go to hear the truth. But people are interested in learning about Jesus. Usually there's Christians around. Usually there's a church somewhere in their area.
而这些人呢，他们之所以会，就是说他们一定是非常非常有兴趣真正的深刻的认识耶稣的这些人呢，他应该都是跟这些教会有关。
Yeah, but the people in the church, they have to be responsible for understanding the gospel message, for understanding doctrine, for example. Yeah, and that's the responsibility of the pastor as well, to be teaching good doctrine to his church.
所以呢，一个教会它其实会吸引非常多对这个圣经、对耶稣有兴趣的人。所以呢，一个教会的设立，它必然要很谨慎，而且很严肃的面对它必须要能够教导的事实，否则这些被吸引来的人，他们没有东西可以学。
Yeah, churches need to be responsible, or the pastor, especially the pastor, he's responsible for that church. He needs to be responsible for teaching doctrine, for having good children's programs, for making sure that if people are growing in doctrine, like young men with the gift of pastor teacher, he needs to be giving them opportunities to learn more so that they can become the pastor of their own church.
所以呢，这样的教会呢，他一定有责任要提供，不管是孩子们或者是青年人们，非常非常正确的圣经教义的教导，让他们的兴趣得以成长，这是一个教会该有的责任。
Churches also need to be responsible for evangelizing, you know, the people in the church. So the pastor needs to be teaching people how to evangelize and to be encouraging that kind of activity.
而且呢，教会也应该要让这些教友们哈有机会学习如何传福音啊，让这个教会的这个影响力可以更大。
And then you have people in the church, and they have maybe the gift of helps. And you know, they could be encouraged to go out and help at the children's home or help at the orphanages or something.
而且教会呢，也要教导这些基督徒们哈，能够怎么样的去救助整个教会四周或者乡镇的这些需求，因为教会是要让教友们学习如何帮助别人。
Or to go around the hospitals, you know, they could be attending to people in hospitals, especially people maybe they're close to death, and giving them the gospel.
而且呢，要教导这些基督徒们去医院里面服侍，尤其是很多病人哈，他们甚至濒临死亡的病人，要让他们有机会在死前可以真正得救，然后就要听到福音。
See, if a church is functioning properly, and if it's like a full-grown church,And it has all of the components, and all of the people are being responsible with their gifts and learning doctrine, then the church becomes a complete organization and is doing all of those activities.
所以呢，对一个教会来讲，它能够成长到这样一个完全各种功能都齐备的教会啊，是非常重要的。那这一切的最根本的就是教会要能够好好的教导圣经教义。
Yeah, so yeah, again, that's sort of one of the goals of a missionary. It'd be nice to see something like that happen, whether it's in China or in Taiwan or in Thailand. But it takes people being responsible and people that understand that what their goal is as a Christian, you know, what their responsibilities and what their goals are.
所以对一个传教士来讲，他的最大的目的就是能够到一个地方，然后能够兴起一个教会，然后兴起很多的基督徒，让基督徒们都知道作为一个基督徒应有的职责是什么。
Okay, now that was a bit off topic for today. I was actually going to teach about the covenants again, and I got started on that topic, and I thought, well, we could use the opportunity to teach on that. So that's probably all I'm going to teach for today.
原本今天我们应该是要继续讲这个与神的约定，这个圣经上面教导的这个约定，但是我们今天很幸运的有机会可以听到 Tim 来教导我们一个传教和一个设立教会该有的事工。
Yeah, and that's something I've been meaning to talk about for a while actually. You can keep this in your prayers as well, that churches can be established. Even churches now, there's a lot of churches around that they need to know their responsibilities and they could do that.
所以我们也要常常的放在祷告里面，让我们能够成为建立教会的一个很重要的动力，因为这些事情成立一个教会它所该做该学该设置的事情是不简单的，但是我们希望我们每一个人都能够成为成立 教会的一个很重要的一份力量。
Now are there any questions at all about that?
我们有什么问题吗？ Iris 有没有什么问题吗？
没有，谢谢。
Okay, you don't have any questions, Serena?
I was following your teachings quite complete. I'm really glad to hear this today.
Oh, good. Okay. Okay, so we'll bow our heads then, and we can have a closing prayer.
好，那我们先来做一个结束祷告。
Father, sir, we give thanks to you for the encouragement that comes from your word and even from your church, from the church that has been established for us.
感谢天父给我们这些鼓励，让我们能够理解成立教会的意义。
We give thanks that through your word and through human history, we can see that for over 2,000 years, or for about 2,000 years, your word has been spread and your doctrine has been taught.
我们也很感谢呢，经过这两千多年来，你的这个神的话跟神的这个历史，都让我们了解你的教导已经在全世界散播。
We know that we are not welcome in the devil's world, and that your servants always face much persecution in different places throughout the world.
我们知道呢，我们所有的这些传教者呢，都不被撒旦所欢迎，所以我们都会在世界各地传教的过程中会遇到很多艰难险阻。
So we pray for provision and protection and for guidance for those servants of you, for those people that are serving you.In countries where they might be persecuted.
所以我们呢要祷告，求神呢给我们更多的保守，更多的提供，以及更多的指引，让我们在世界各地的这个传教的工作能够不致停止，都能够在你的保守之下能够得以兴盛。
We pray also that those people would understand their responsibilities to you, that they need to understand the gospel message clearly and doctrine clearly, and that they can present this clearly to anybody that's interested.
我们也祷告呢，所有的这些传教士呢，都能够很清楚的将福音跟圣经的教义传播出去。
And so we give thanks for all these things in Christ's name.
我们感谢所有的这一切的感谢，因着主耶稣基督之名。
Amen.
Amen.